Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Yevgeny Prigozhin was buried today in St. Petersburg. That's according to the Wagner Group, the global mercenary military organization that he led. Not in attendance, Russian President Vladimir Putin. Prigozhin died last week in a fiery plane crash. But just before that, he posted a kind of recruitment video from an undisclosed place in Africa. So let's talk now about Wagner and its future in Africa. Kimberly Martin joins us. She studies Russia and the Wagner Group at Barnard College in New York City. Kimberly, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So the Wagner Group without Yevgeny Prigozhin, will he be easy to replace, impossible to replace?
It's not quite clear what'll happen. There are a number of possibilities. We know that the Russian military intelligence agency, the GRU, has been trying to take control, for example, over the Wagner forces that are located in Syria. They made trips to Africa in an attempt to gain control there, too. And so one possibility is that it'll just be folded into the GRU or into the Russian military. But we could also imagine that some other Russian oligarch might take it over.
We mentioned that just before he died, Prigozhin posted a video from Africa promising that his forces would stay and work there. So stepping back, help us understand, what are Moscow's key regional and geopolitical interests in Africa?
Well, you know, Putin sees it as a place for competition with the West and increasingly also with China. And Russia was slow to return to Africa after the collapse of the Soviet Union. And so it does not have the kind of commercial presence, the ordinary commercial presence that many other countries have in Africa in terms of trade and investment. And the Wagner Group was a way to allow it to have control over security operations in some key African states. And so it is essentially holding up the government in the Central African Republic. It's trying to hold up the new government in Mali. And it's also been engaged in gold mining and smuggling out of both Sudan and the Central African Republic, and then with the warlord Khalifa Haftar in eastern Libya.
Which gets at the Wagner Group's Africa, business model, if we can use that term. I mean, is it fair to say that the group often fights for governments, different governments, Central African Republic, Mali, and in return, it delivers things to Moscow, like natural resources?
Well, what it's really delivering in some ways is cash in addition to that influence. And so we know that in both the Central African Republic and in Sudan, it was very much involved in gold deals that were helping Russia evade gold sanctions that have been put on it by the West, and probably infusing cash into the Russian state at a time when Russia is bleeding cash and resources over its fight that's happening in the war in Ukraine.
Now, the Wagner Group, as I was reading up, they don't just fight. In some countries, they train, they advise governments, they provide information operations and logistics, and sometimes the mining, the extraction. Full service operation, it seems.
Yeah, they're a very flexible group, and that's something to keep in mind if the GRU, the Russian Military Intelligence Agency, or if the Russian Defense Ministry does take some kind of command and control over them, is that that flexibility will be lost, because the Russian Defense Ministry has a reputation for being very top-down and centralized and not allowing much innovation, and that's one of the reasons why the Russian invasion of Ukraine hasn't gone as well as it appeared that it might, given Russia's level of resources. That they don't allow enough initiative in the field. And that is something that the Wagner Group has been known for.
Yeah. Now, during this campaign in Ukraine, both the Kremlin and leaders of the Wagner Group have kind of talked about the Wagner Group as a somewhat separate organization. What do we know about how aligned it is with Moscow? What is the evidence? What is the intelligence?
It's never been a private military company or a mercenary group, even though it gets called that all the time. It may very well have been created by the GRU, by the Russian Military Intelligence Agency, but it certainly cooperated with the GRU during the entire time of its existence. So it trained in Mulkino, Russia, right next to the major GRU Special Forces training base. When passports have been issued for its foreign travel, they come out of the same separate office inside Russia that works with the GRU for those kinds of passports. And so it's had a very close relationship with the GRU all along, even though it has not, for the most part, been under direct military command.
Yeah. And just briefly, I mean, for all of its work, I imagine there are ethical human rights questions surrounding this group. Yeah.
It has committed massacres just about everywhere that it has been. We know that this is the case, that it's targeted civilians in Libya, in the Central African Republic, in Mali, and in Ukraine, just at a minimum. So yes, it's a terrible actor that has done some really awful things.
We have been talking with Barnard College Professor Kimberly Martin about the Wagner Group. Thank you very much.
Thank you.